Any further questions? Yes.
So if I understood you correctly, we have three sets of these CDs, or?
Well, have as many sets as you can keep track of. I mean, you know, not just one. I would recommend, I mean, thing is, if you use multiple ways of backing up, if you can have, you know, your big backup of your whole system that you incrementally add to and take off site, and then you can have another CD that you just, or another set of CDs that you just copy your latest documents onto, just with whatever software came with your computer. As long as you've got, I would recommend, if you have two copies of stuff that's not on your computer, so two extra copies of whatever, aside from what's in your machine, and one of them is outside your residence or where outside your office somewhere, then you're pretty much okay. You know, theoretically, they could all fail somehow and you'd be stuck, but that could go on forever. If you've got three copies, that's great. If you've got 17 copies, then you're starting to get into logistical problems knowing where your backups are. So I wouldn't go that far, but... So I'd say two extra copies. So, you know, one copy and then a backup of the backup is probably good enough. Yeah.
I do some backup when I'm in a good mood. I'm not really good at this. And some stuff I haven't backed up ever. And I feel badly about that, especially now I've been warned. But I'm having trouble finding where I take and drag and drop my email.
That's a good question, actually. It depends on what program you use. If it's if you use Outlook Express, I'd have to...
I go into any of the things, I can't find it.
I think, if I recall correctly, if you use Outlook or Outlook Express, they store the information in...
Temporary internet.
No, it's not temporary internet files. I think it's inside the Windows directory. So if you go to the C, my computer, C drive, Windows, and then there might be... email, or it might even be in just the C drive, mail files or something. I can't recall for sure.
In the program, I think you can see.
There is actually a way in the program to specify where that stuff is stored. If you go to Tools Options, Tools Menu Options, there's a way in one of those million panels for you to tell it to put it somewhere else, and in there it probably tells you where it is. I haven't dealt with Outlook for a while.
It's something like 10 folders.
Yeah, the name of the
I can talk to you after.
Okay, just do a search.
Yeah, I was about to say the one thing you can do is you can go to Start, Find, and then Find Files, and the files end with .pst for like postal box or something. So if you look for those files and then just move those are the ones you're looking for. By default on the Mac. The mail program that comes with the new Mac OS is actually really dumb. It puts it in a folder called Library, which is where you're supposed to store your preferences and things. not the best place. Others put them in the Documents folder. It says Documents, and then it says, you know, Microsoft Entourage folder or something, which is a good place to put it. Because then if you back up all your documents, you also back up your email. It's good to figure out where that is. Try and figure out where all your stuff is. But yeah, .pst files, if you're using Windows and you're using Outlook or Outlook Express, I would encourage you not to because you'll get fewer viruses and worms, but if you're using that software or they make you use it at work, that's where the stuff will be. Further questions? Yes?
DVDs versus CDs are one more stable than the other? I mean, you know, if it goes down the scale...
There, I don't think there's much distinction. They are, none of them live forever. Even music CDs don't live forever. Not as much as LP records do. They do degrade over time. So don't expect that in 8 or 10 years your first backups will still necessarily be readable. They might be, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Plus your computer's probably changed twice.
Yeah, you know, but if you're relying on that, don't. You know, make period, if you're doing the total backup, do the total backup every few months or every year or something or whatever. You know, between Christmas and New Year, he's got some time, some time, whatever. Try that. Yes?
How do you back up your favorite web?
Where does Internet Explorer store those? That's a good question. I don't know.
You export them from Internet Explorer.
Oh, you can export them. I never even tried that. Again, I'm one of these non-Microsoft people, so I don't use Internet Explorer either, except to test web pages. So my stuff doesn't live that way. I'm not sure. It's worth. I mean, you can go to Google online and say, where does Internet Explorer keep its favorites, and you'll probably find out.
I think it's under file.
Yeah, you can, inside the program, you can say file and export, and then save them in your documents folder. That's worth doing periodically in case they get screwed up.
File.
Yeah. Yes.
Just to reiterate something, everything we save, we should save in My Documents.
If possible, yeah.
And then make your folders within there.
Yeah.
Rather than having them
scattered everywhere. Yeah. I mean, if you can keep track of where they are, and you can consolidate them all into some way to back them up, great. I'm just suggesting that because then you can say, if you get retrospect, you can just drag that My Documents folder and say, back this sucker up, everything inside here.
Okay, well, what about when you get emails, their Word documents?
Mm-hmm.
Can you... Those go somewhere, like that,
well,
PST?
Usually they would be stored inside that PST file, and they can make it very big over time. What I do is I save those into My Documents, you know, for whatever client it is, and then I delete them in the email program, so my email database is smaller.
It's small, but yeah, that was my question.
Yeah.
I moved them over to
there. I move them into My Documents folder. You don't have to. Well, when you get a Word document in an email, you can...
The Word document, but what about the email message itself? You can't save that in email.
Well, you can. I mean, you can actually, most email programs will let you save individual email messages or blocks of them or drag them, and it turns them into text files. But then going to find the stuff again can be awkward. But if, you know, if your email database is getting way too big and you just want to archive everything, in fact, I think a lot of the programs have an ability to archive, just save things to a separate place or make them all text files. You know, this is sort of beyond backup, but you know, you can say everything before... you know, 2001, if you're keeping it that long, I just want to save somewhere else and burn it on the CD, and then if I ever need it, I can go look at it. You can do that.
How do you find those archives?
Well, that's another thing. You need to label the CDs that you make clearly. It needs to say, you know, My Backup, October 2000.
Like,
well, that's up to you.
Or whatever. It's always saying, Windows is now auto-archiving old methods.
I don't know about that, sorry. I don't know. I don't know what it does with them. I don't know where it puts them. That's beyond my expertise, sorry. The auto stuff kind of disturbs me, because if you haven't set it up yourself, you don't know what it's doing. Yes, Robert.
You actually set up to where they go. And then, excuse me.
Really? Oh, sorry. So there, Jesus. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
What I did not realize was that the default had been that that everything would be deleted. So I've lost all of my emails, because that was the default. I assumed that everything was being archived.
Turn off the auto.
Yeah. It's a good point. It's worth looking through programs like Outlook or whatever, going into the tools options and just looking at everything and seeing if it looks a bit funny or if you don't know what it does, seeing if you can turn it off. Because I didn't even realize that it would do that.
Yeah,
that's the default. Delete it all after a month or something.
Well, much longer than that.
Yeah.
Longer? Yeah. That was the first thing I did. I went in and turned it off.
Wow. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I thought you were done there, but sorry. Robert, you had another question.
I tried, on one occasion to save a whole bunch of files on a CD.
Yeah.
To put onto my client's computer, and I used Rockfield, which was a default on my computer.
That's this one, Easy CD Grader, or one of those. They make that. Yeah.
So I get the CD over to my client's computer. It won't recognize it, and I think it's because file called ActiveX that it didn't have.
Okay. Well, was this a program you were trying to move or documents?
No, just documents.
That's odd.
It wouldn't recognize the CD at all.
One thing to do is when you get this software, particularly if you're writing CDs that other people are going to read, that not Retrospect uses its own format, and you need Retrospect, and it comes with its own CD that you can start up with to get the stuff back. And, you know, if you have a problem, you can phone them and ask for help, and they'll walk you through it. But if you're just, you know, burning stuff with whatever came with your computer and trying to move files, one of the key things is to see what format it's making that CD. There's a generic one that's called ISO something or other, 33 some odd. It's the international standard data CD format, which is what by default it should be making, and anybody should be able to read that. But if it's for some reason making what's called a multi-session CD, or it's making a Macintosh CD and you're taking it to somebody with Windows, or it's trying to make a hybrid CD that's supposed to work on both but might not, that's what you got to check. The other issue, I don't know exactly what the issue with yours is going to be, but what you got to do there is the manual for the Roxio software is actually pretty well written, I've found, at least for me, and it explains these formats fairly well. And what you should do is just choose the one that's the most generic one possible, which generally means the one that Windows machines will be able to read, because then you can probably get it read on anything, but I'm not certain. Lynn, you had a question?
I'm just wondering, is there no difference between having a CD that came with my computer? You can't make the rewritable ones on that.
Mm.
But we bought another one that we plugged in that you can.
Right.
But I know, I don't use them very often, but one won't read the other one. Could it be something to do with it?
Well, generally older computers that have a CD drive that just reads CDs and doesn't make them, they may not be able to read ones that you've created with another computer. Most modern ones will. So generally, if you burn a CD on somebody's new computer and you take it to somebody else's new computer, whether it just has a CD-ROM drive in it or has a CD writer in it, it should be able to read those files. There is a bit of an issue there. Sometimes it doesn't. And it's sort of like, well, this rarely happens, but I mean, sometimes you can't, you get a CD that plays fine in your home stereo, but it won't play in your boombox, or it won't play in your car. It's the same problem. It's not that the format is wrong, it's that there are flaws, or it's, you know, too scratched, or it's, something's not quite right, and it's more a matter of that. Chances are, if you tried it in some other computer, it probably would work. Winifred?
You're talking about the difference between ISO and multi-session. Now, in multi-session, shouldn't that theoretically work on another computer?
It should, but it doesn't always. Generally, to be safest, you should write as much as you can onto one CD in one pass and leave it at that. Even if you're only putting, I don't know, you know, 1 megabyte on a 650 megabyte disk, it's still only a 50-cent disk. I find, you know, you can do, I'm going to do one bit and then add another bit and add another bit, but sometimes you'll take it to a computer and it can only read the first one that you did and not the others. And yours might be able to read them all, or if you put it in a Mac, it might show up as 7 disks on the desktop and you don't know which one you want. So it's, I mean, that's fine if you're sure you can read those. If you've tested it and you can read it on a machine and you want to read it, great. I just tend to fill it up. If I need to back up something, I'll back up my email, and then I'll just go grab the last month's worth of photos and put it on there too, just so I have another copy of all those photos. I'll just try and fill it up with stuff. But that's sort of the, you know, pack rat, jam the closet as full as it can possibly go method. You don't have to do it that way. Anything else? Yes?
I have a couple of more questions.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a laptop that I'm not using too much, is it feasible or advisable to use that as a backup?
Sure. Yeah.
I think so.
It should. You have to check. There are various different versions of this. Mm-hmm. They used to have one called Retrospect Express that would only work with CDs and the internet or something. It wouldn't do other stuff, but I think they discontinued that because they realized it was annoying. But the basic version, I think, will do all that. If you have another computer on a network and you've got a shared folder or whatever, you can move, you know, setting that up is its own mess. But if you could see it and you can wait the time, you can just copy the file to the laptop and take the laptop to work and leave it there, or just put it in another room, whatever. You can use that. I know the Mac laptops and maybe some PC ones, you can actually set them up so that you plug them into a computer and when you start them up, you hold down the T key or something and it just acts like a big hard disk. It doesn't even start up as its normal stuff with all the windows and stuff. It just comes up with this hard disk icon, and as far as the other computer is concerned, it's just a disk that you've plugged in, and then you just move the files over like that. So I don't know if Windows laptops do that, but you can do it over a network, or you can do it with a more direct high-speed connection, but that involves techie stuff that I sort of know about but have not actually done, so I won't give you concrete advice.
My last question was, you said you had on your Mac a software that allows you to back up to California.
Mm-hmm.
Remote site. What about for PCs? What do you recommend?
There are
locations.
There are programs that do that. In fact, Retrospect will do it. The key thing is getting the place to back it up to. On the Mac, you have to buy a service every year called .Mac that gives you this. And in fact, if you're a Windows user, you can buy that service. You don't get all the Mac-specific stuff. But in Windows, there's a thing called there's My Computer, and then there's one called My Network Places. You can actually add that California iDisk to the My Network Places. It uses a standard format so that a Windows machine, in fact, that's what I do when I need to work. In fact, even at the office I'm working at, I have a Mac laptop, this one, sitting next to a PC, but I don't have a cable that goes directly between them. So sometimes if I need to move a file, I will open my California disk, my iDisk, and I will move the file from the Mac to the iDisk, and then on the Windows machine, I will go into My Network Places where I've added that iDisk, and I'll drag it back out. So I'm sending the file to California, and then sending it back here in order to move it this far on my desk. That's the internet for you. So, yeah, you can even use that service. And there are others available. If you look up internet backup, there you could see some services. Or if you have a website, or if you have, even if you don't use a website, but if you use something like Telus, they give you free web space. And if you find out how to get access to that, you can use this or some other program to copy files there periodically. And it just sits wherever Telus keeps their stuff, I don't know. Again, it's away, so that's good. Are we done? Good. I'm running out of voice. Thank you. If you have other questions, again, I'm going to post stuff up on 10machine.com. You can go there and email me, and I'll see if I can answer. I'll post up a whole bunch of links about this stuff shortly. That's it. We're done.